Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
All right, Cassie is a little bit frustrated, and I think we've all been here also now. When you're online, are you talking to somebody? Is it AI? What is happening?
So I'm emailing with the CEO of a company who I have met before, and I noticed the first time he emailed, I was like, oh, okay, he's very formal. And the second time he emailed, I was like, he is 100% using AI to craft his email responses back to me. You know how you can just tell when it's AI?
Yep.
Well, sort of. I can't tell sometimes if it's AI or it's being outsourced. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the words sometimes are a little on the jiggly side. So I can't tell if it's being outsourced and somebody's trying to communicate that doesn't quite get all the words right in English, or if it's AI.
I see what you're saying for sure. This is grammatically perfect. Like, there is nothing wonky. It's just very stiff and formal. Just crafting my fair share of belated replies and surprisingly the time slot you've proposed. Like, things like that where I'm like, normal humans don't talk like this, or, you know, like typical people, unless maybe you are English is your second language and you've learned like the formal way. Like if I went to France and spoke French, they'd be like, look at this goober, because everything I learned is from a textbook and that's not how people talk.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that's not the case. And it has me feeling some kind of way. And I don't know why. I think it's because I'm like, can't you just respond as a... I don't mind outsourcing to AI for tasks. It just feels weird when you outsource the human interaction part that should be super easy. And I'm judging a little bit because I'm like, isn't this very easy to email back and forth? These are not complicated questions. Mm-hmm. It's just like, are you free to meet this time? And then I'm getting like it feels very inhuman.
They're using AI to say yes.
Or I'll be like, hey, sorry for my delayed response. And then the AI will respond to that. And I'm like, just talk to me like a human back and forth. And I feel bad because there's technically nothing wrong. This person, she's making sure that everything is written properly, like, and is, you know, the utmost professional, but it's putting me off doing business with her because I feel that I can't trust her because I'm like, is it you or is it AI that I'm talking to? And I want a human to human interaction on this part of our business. And I'm wondering if maybe I'm being too uptight and this is just the way we're just going to have AI assistants talking to each other.
I wonder if there's some small corner of the internet now where there's a hack where there's one question you can ask that would determine for sure if it was AI or not.
Well, I think she's taking my email and plugging it into AI, right? So I don't think it's like an AI bot responding. I think she's getting my emails, plugging it in because it's addressing very specific points in my email. So it feels personalized, but there's no... Humans do not talk like this. I can tell. And I went back and read her other emails. And I have read enough in my life and talked to enough people. I do social media. Like, I understand how humans talk in a business sense and online. And this ain't it.
At the end of the day, though, if whoever is interacting with you is getting the job done, then what difference does it make if it's AI or if it's a person?
I think that's my conundrum, but I feel lied to. Like, if you're on TikTok and you see a picture that's AI, it has a label that says AI generated. Like, I feel like you need to disclose somewhere that it's AI. I feel like I'm having conversations and I'm being duped because I'm not getting this person's actual reactions. Mm-hmm. I'm getting what a computer is. The computer thinks right. Should be the response rather than a genuine response.
You feel like it's not authentic.
Yes.
I get. And it's funny because this really is becoming a thing because my dude was texting someone and he sent me like the draft of the text that he wanted to send this girl that he's talking to. And I was like, bro, you didn't write this. Like, it was very obvious to me that he used it and he wouldn't admit it at first. But there are certain sentences in there, like you're saying, that you're like, no human would say that in the dating world, and I completely knew he was using AI.
Kaylee wants in on this. What's up, dude?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's... So, like, for me personally, I'm not a fast typer at all, and I'm probably not the best with punctuation and things where... And so, versus send someone like yourself, who's very intelligent and who's good with all the grammar, and make myself look less intelligent, I normally would... draft something and then throw it through ChatGPT just so, you know, no one's going to pick it apart going, oh, he misspelled this or didn't put a comma there or semicolon or whatever. And so, you know, maybe that's what she's doing. But I feel like what I send normally has... It's not like, I get what you're saying. Some things are very AI sounding.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever sent me an email done through AI, but I can never tell with yours.
Well, I did once, but it was, remember, it was like written from the 1800s.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it,
well,
you
that,
were
yeah,
like,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
That was you obvious. Even said, you go, wow, I mean, this is crazy.
I was an idiot. I thought he actually wrote that. Okay, so AI's great at writing in the style of the 1800s, and that's how these, like, her emails are coming off. But that's a good point, Kaylee. Like, if you're using it to better yourself, then and be more professional. Can I fault you for it?
Hey, Sheridan, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good, thank you.
Long-time listener, love you guys, real quick.
Thank you.
So it's super easy. There is a ton of free AI checker software online.
Ooh.
Okay, where do we find these? So
I use a certain one called Grammarly, but I'm also a student. So I kind of use it with that, but it's to maybe check papers sometimes.
Okay.
But you can just Google free AI checker, and there's a ton of them, and it works really well. It'll tell you if it was all done by AI or the percentage that is AI generated.
You're great. Wow. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sheridan. I just Googled one, found one.
Okay.
AI content detected.
Is that right?
It is AI.
You feel better about it now?
I feel good that I can tell AI from humans means it ain't perfect yet. It's not going to take over the world.
It's not. And you know what I think people, where they're making the mistake is they're putting it into ChatGPT, and then they're not like adding human element to it. And you can immediately tell. It's a great tool, but you got to tweak it. An invitation to the cookout is on the line.
I've always wanted to go to the cookout.
I'm just saying it might get us one step closer to getting to the invitation.
Unless you blow it. It is time to test your knowledge on old school hip hop.
Are we allowed to phone a friend, and our friend is Tommy? Is he the only one that knows all of these?
Tommy can absolutely not participate in this game.
I like to call this game My Wheelhouse.
Yep. So when Abby and I don't figure these out, then Tommy, I think you got to come in as the pinch hitter, man.
All right, that'll work. Should we do it to where y'all take it one a piece, or should both of y'all be a team?
Oh, I think we could both equally... be failures together on this one. We can work as a team to fail.
So team failure here?
Team failure.
Okay.
Utter team failure. That's what we shoot for.
Okay, team failure.
All right.
So I have in front of me authentic names of old school hip-hop groups. And, of course, they will be matched up with fake hip-hop group names that ChatGPT made up.
I can't wait to hear the fake ones.
So you guys have to guess which one was genuinely the name of an old school hip-hop group.
Okay.
Are you ready? Beach Street Legends or World Class Wrecking Crew?
Okay, whitey to whitey telepathy here. I feel like Beach Street doesn't sound hard enough. Like, I feel like you can't rap and live on Beach Street, you know?
Obviously, you're not familiar with the breakdance and hip hop movie Beach Street.
Oh,
it was pretty,
okay.
It was pretty
so
hard.
Let's do the first one then. Beach Street.
I'll go with Beach Street also.
You going Beach Street?
Yep.
You're both wrong.
You like
how I threw them off, man?
Yes, Tommy, I do.
I feel tricked.
Well played.
I feel tricked.
Did you learn anything by watching Straight Outta Compton?
Not so much.
World Class Wrecking Crew was a group of DJs, and Dr. Dre was in World Class Wrecking Crew, but kind of their career went down, kind of like my old pictures, wearing bicycle pants and a rap group.
Yeah.
They wore those satin jackets back in the day.
Tommy's going to be a Wikipedia page right now.
When I came up with this game, I knew that this was going to be my favorite part.
When I interviewed Ice Cube and all the actors for Straight Outta Compton, I got to go interview them, and I brought that up. And they said, man, you know your stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're going to get a lot of tidbits from Tommy this morning. I'm excited about it. All right, Tommy, you'll appreciate this one.
All right.
Boogie Down Productions or the Jungle Sisters?
Jungle Sisters can't be right.
I'm going with that. So Boogie is correct?
Boogie is correct. Jungle is not.
Boogie
Down Productions.
Yeah, going with Boogie Down Productions.
Is the correct
one. I don't know. I don't feel as confident anymore.
You sure? It's your final time.
Boogie Down Productions is correct.
That is correct.
Okay.
You got one. Come
all
on.
All right.
Okay.
KRS-One, one of the best MCs. He's in my top five.
One for the weights.
1-1.
And RIP to DJ Scott LaRock.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, man, for sure.
Planet Patrol or the Fresh Flow Collective?
Oh, I kind of like Fresh Flow Collective.
I'll go with Abby. Yeah. She's enthusiastic.
It feels like a fun band name.
It is a fun band name, and it would have been fire, but it is wrong.
Oh, oh damn, damn it. Oh,
Planet
damn it.
Patrol is the actual hip hop group.
Electro funk.
But on ChatGPT, that's a great. I might start a band.
Anything they put out, I would pop to.
Oh, for back in the day. Oh, my God.
I would,
yes.
I would run
pop
the dance
it all floor. Over the place. Man. That's what I was doing.
Especially after that hip replacement.
Yeah,
man.
But no, it was way before that. That's what calls a hip replacement.
Souls of Mischief or Old School Unity?
Souls of Mischief, I feel, is the right one.
Okay.
But you can override me.
Souls of Mischief, and what's the second one?
Old School Unity.
Old School Unity. I think the first one sounds right. Okay. Souls of Mischief.
Yeah, I got that one.
Hey!
2 points for the Whiteys.
Whiteys on a roll. Whiteys on a roll.
The second name back in the day, they would have termed whack.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have been old school at that time.
Yeah, that would have been a hit. That was whack anyway.
Digital Underground or Original Rap Pioneers?
I know Digital Underground for sure is a real band.
Okay, then let's go with that.
Who was in it?
The little dude.
The little
what was that
dude.
Guy's name? I met him one night. God, he was the nicest dude.
Kevin Hart?
I don't know.
Kevin Hart was not in it.
I know, but he's a little guy.
Would you like to tell him who was in Digital Underground?
A gentleman, he had two personas. One was Shock G. He was also known as, when he put on the nose and the glasses, Humpty Hump.
Got
the
it.
The Humpty Dance.
Got it right, but I'm thinking of the wrong person.
But there was also a very famous rapper
yep.
in this group that got his start.
Yep.
You can hear him on some of their songs.
And you know,
legendary.
You know this rapper.
Legendary.
That's why I was wondering if that's what you were hinting at. You definitely know.
Nah, him. He didn't meet him.
Who?
Tupac.
Oh, no, I did not meet
that's
him.
Not, that's no. not the little dude you met?
No. I can't remember what that dude's name was, but he lived here in Atlanta.
All right, so you're 3-2 right now. I'll give you one more.
Okay.
See if we end up in a tie.
All right.
Or if you're actually going to be invited to the cookout.
All right, so we're down 3-2 right now?
No, you're up.
We're
you're up 3-2.
No, okay. The only way y'all getting in the cookout is if you cater it.
Cold Crush Brothers, Golden Era MCs.
Damn.
Come on now.
Cold Crush Brothers sounds like a cool name. I'm just going off of what sounds cool.
Are we going with Cold Crush?
Do you feel it?
I don't feel either.
I just feel like they wouldn't call themselves Golden Era. It's kind of like old school.
I'm enjoying this so much.
Cold Crush?
I'm kind of so nervous.
We really want to go to the cookout so bad.
There's a lot of pressure on the line.
There is a lot of pressure on the line.
Okay, final answer. First one is correct.
You're going with Cold Crush Brothers.
Yeah. We're going to the cookout. We're going to the cookout. We're going to the cookout.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This may come as a shock to you, as 9 in every 10 women already have a Pinterest board ready for a wedding they don't even have on the schedule. Heck, they don't even have a boyfriend. But according to @TikTok_HDTV5, there's an apparently new research that suggests that men are more apt to want marriage than women at this point.
Men are now more likely than women to say that it's important to them to get married.
And is that new?
Yes. In the last few decades, that line has crossed. And so one of the remaining myths is marriage is a thing that women want and that men have to be kind of tricked or coerced into. If anything, it's the other way around now.
I believe them because they have an accent.
Yeah, it's Stephen Bartlett from Diary of a CEO. He's very convincing no matter what he says. So apparently now men are more... want marriage more than women, which honestly doesn't shock me that much. And maybe it's because I grew up in the South and I have a brother who is like actively seeking out his wife. He's like, I need to get married and have kids ASAP. I think women are now more prone to want to be independent because this is like the first generation where we haven't really been forced into anything. Mm.
Do you know why? I think it's because they were listening to The Burt Show and heard that men who are married live longer.
Yeah, that's it. That's for sure.
You know, I read a stat the other day that says that's only true for men who are not black.
What?
Are you serious?
Seriously.
Say
yeah.
that.
They said it's some type of science that backs up the fact that for some reason, the men only live longer and make more money in marriages if they are not black. That's true for every other ethnicity of man.
No kidding.
Shut up.
Seriously.
That's wild. Yeah.
Wow.
Did you find that just so you didn't have to get married?
No.
that was from the it University does. Of Momish.
it does help, because, but nah, I really found that.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Look, I want to circle back to a debate we were having on the show yesterday. And I realized after the show, and looking back, like, you ever get into like a debate and you start digging in just for the sake of digging in because you want to win? I think I got in there yesterday with Kristen because I was talking about a bunch of stuff I don't know about. So yesterday we were talking, there was an email, but it was about people being pressured into having kids.
It was John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Right, John Cena being pressured into having kids. And I made the comment that, look, if somebody doesn't want to have kids, don't pressure them into it to have kids because they probably won't be good at it. If you've been a mom that was pressured into having a kid and you never wanted one in the first place, my guess is you're not going to be great at it. So, and I was taking that from experience in every area except motherhood, because quite honestly, and here's where I'm going with this, I've never met a woman that felt like she was forced to have kids by parents or people around her. So she's just like, you know what? Okay, I'll give it a try. And she had kids, right? And Kristen was arguing the other side. So what I would like before hearing Kristen again is, and we can put you on the voice disguiser, if you are a woman and you were forced, you really feel forced or pressured into having kids, what did that look like? Because I have never met one. So yesterday I had an opinion on something that I really have no experience in.
Well, the stance that you were taking is that if a woman is forced to have a kid, she can't be a good mom. That's why I was like, I don't subscribe to that. I have had not extensive experience, but I know someone who accidentally got pregnant, did not want to have a kid, but did have a kid, and she's a fantastic mom.
But is that being pressured? That, to me, that feels very different than she didn't get pressured into having a kid. She got pregnant. Pressure to me would be like your parents saying you got to have a kid, that, or you're feeling it at church, or you're feeling it at friends. So finally you're just like, okay, I'm giving into the pressure and I'm just going to have a kid, even though you don't really want one.
And I feel like if you are, nobody should ever pressure you to do anything. But if you do find yourself in that position where it wasn't your idea, you didn't want it, but you did it for the sake of others, I don't think that means you're going to be a bad mom. Mm-hmm. I think that means you were in a position that was wholly unfair, but I know plenty of people who intentionally had children and they suck as parents. So I want to believe that the same is true for the other side, right? That if you are forced to have a child, that does not automatically mean that you're going to be a bad parent.
And I think where I was coming from was every area outside of motherhood. Like if Mo forces me to play a game of basketball and I don't want to, and Mo starts giving me pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure, and I'm just going out there and I suck at it, I'm not going to enjoy that, right? But that's very different than having kids. Like the reality of having kids and the thought of having kids are two different things.
I see what you're saying, but I also feel like having a kid is so life-changing for a lot of different people. Like some people become a completely different person. Mm-hmm. So you may feel that way, but then that child just does something to you and something clicks. And then before you know it, you might be all you want to do is be an amazing parent.
I have never met a woman that has said, yes, I was definitely, I had a kid because I was pressured into it. Good morning, Jessica. You are part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, how are y'all?
Good. Thank you for joining us. You're on the Voice Disguiser.
Okay. So I would just say, so I'd been married with my husband. We were engaged for 5 years before we got married. So my grandparents, my family really loved him. We're still together. But once we were approaching our 1 year anniversary, it just kept getting brought up more and more. Like every time I see my grandparents, they'd be like, you know, we're not getting any younger. We're not getting any younger. When are we going to have some grandkids, you know? And we were kind of the first couple in the family that were doing things right, like traditionally dating first and then married and then kids. So they were just really excited for us. And I definitely was feeling more and more pressure as we were married longer. So by our 1 year anniversary, we did decide to take the jump. And decided to kind of give up the independence that we had had and enjoyed because I just really wanted to see my grandparents holding my own child. You know, like that was something that I really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So we did make that decision, and I totally don't regret it. Unfortunately, my grandfather did pass when I was 8 months pregnant with her. So that was really, really hard. But I don't regret anything, and I would say that I'm a wonderful mom. I'm now a stay-at-home mom. And things have just changed, but all for the better. So I think you can kind of be pressured and things can be twisted the way, you know, you didn't necessarily plan. But it can always turn out for the best.
Yeah, appreciate you calling. Thank you. Okay, so there you go. She was pressured and she thinks she's great, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Christy, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so you were pressured and you finally gave into it. You're like, all right, screw it, I'll just have a child.
So it wasn't me, it was my sister-in-law.
Okay.
So she got married to her husband, and beforehand they said no kids. They were on board, both of them. Even the husband's like, yeah, no kids. His family, brothers and sisters, started having babies. So he got baby fever.
Mm-hmm.
He started trying to pressure her into it. She said no. And eventually she gave in, and she has two. And they have a nanny, and she's a good mom when she's around.
She's a good mom. It wasn't a complete endorsement.
Okay.
But it does happen quite a bit, and you were right.
Yeah.
All right, it's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Yesterday, I went to this place called Sweat House, which has, like, saunas and cold plunges. My mom is also, like, Burt, like, very into the health and fitness stuff, so she's been feeding me this information for weeks. She's like, the sauna therapy is so good for you. It's going to, like, refresh your mind. It's going to press the reset button. It's going to be great. So I did the sauna over the weekend, and I felt amazing. So I was like, oh, my gosh, there really must be something to this. I should probably do more of this. So with the beginner entry trial thing that I did, you got to do a sauna session and a cold plunge, and they didn't have time for me to do the cold plunge. So that's what I did yesterday. And I was so nervous because I don't handle cold well. I'm anemic. If it's like 69 degrees in the studio, I think it's like the frozen tundra. But I wanted to challenge myself because there's so many good health benefits. My mom was like, it refreshes your brain. You burn more calories. It's like awesome. So yesterday I go to Sweat House, and it's just a 10-minute session because you're probably only going to last about 30 seconds. And I throw on my bathing suit, hype myself up, I'm taking deep breaths. I even took my camera out because I wanted to show people like how long I was going to last, because I really felt like I could handle it.
And this is a full-on ice bath, like one you would see in a locker room in like a professional football game. Like after the game, they go and they lay in those ice beds, same type deal?
Yeah, so it's about 6 feet in length, so it sort of looks like a coffin, but instead of a place for
a
dead
like
body.
One too.
Yeah, it's like
for people your size and my size, that's an Olympic size swimming pool, man.
So inside this coffin is a smaller size tub where ice water is just bubbling up. And I thought it was really funny because they had mountains painted on the wall as if it's supposed to make you feel like you're in a glacial environment. So I hopped on, I sort of perched on the edge like a baby bird for a little bit. And then
you're just holding on to the side.
I had my toes like, curled over the edge. I was like, I don't want to get in.
It's like Titanic.
No,
you're
literally
just holding on right now.
Let me tell you, I'm going to have a lot more empathy watching Titanic the next time around, because the fact that Jack was able to hang on for a couple of minutes to confess his love to Rose is so impressive, because I lasted only 42 seconds.
And you were supposed to go 3 minutes?
They said, because it's your first time, you're probably only going to make it like a minute, minute and a half. And I was like, that's generous. And then they said, if you do it more often, it'll last about 3 to 5 minutes. And I said, okay. So I get in the ice bucket or ice tub, whatever it is. And it wasn't bad at first. I really thought I was going to get in, and it was going to be like a jolt of like, oh,
I hear it. Like you feel like pins poking your body.
That's what I didn't expect. So when I got in the tub, the cold was a little jarring, but you're able to kind of manage your breathing and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then about 10 seconds in, I could not feel my feet. I couldn't feel my feet, and then I couldn't feel my calves, but I was really determined to make it to a minute. And I was like, I don't want to have the walk of shame and be like, I only made it 30 seconds.
And I'm curious, how much does something like this cost for only whatever, I think you said 42 seconds?
Oh, it's $20. $20 for the sauna and the cold plunge.
Okay.
So it's kind of a bargain.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and I can't feel my calves, and I'm like trying to just make it to the minute. So it's about 30 seconds, and then I can't feel my knees, and then I start to shake, and then I start to panic.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, I have 14 minutes left in this place. If I drown, this is a really horrible way to go. So that's when I decided to pop out, was when I couldn't feel my lower body, because then it didn't feel like fun and refreshing and healthy. It felt like I'm going to die.
Is there somebody there coaching you, like a midwife or something?
No, you're in a cold plunge doula. Yes. You're in this water closet by yourself. And to be fair, because I thought I was going to scream when I got in, it's a very quiet space. So if I had made noise, somebody would have been able to come and get me. But mm-hmm. I really thought I was going to die of hypothermia. I really thought I was going to pass away.
You really worked yourself up.
Yeah, it was terrifying. But the good thing about this place was they have a hot shower right next to it. So I had the shower running the whole time. So I tiptoed out of the cold tub and then hopped in the hot shower. And that did help. But I will say, for the rest of the day, it was so opposite to the sauna, because when I did the sauna, I felt very zenned out. My cortisol levels were down. I was relaxed. And then with this experience, it was like the complete opposite. I was jittery all day. And I'm not trying to like hate on the cold plunge, because I think there are actual health benefits, but my legs were tingly. I just didn't feel right. So I think it might have felt different if I had done it right after the sauna when I was hot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not an experience I'm looking forward to doing again.
So it felt like your last time doing it is what it felt
That's
like.
What That's what it felt what it like. Like.
Yeah, when I did it, it kind of, it jolted me and made me feel like I had a gallon of coffee for about 6 hours. And I really like that jittery feeling. So I really, really loved it.
I think it affects men and women differently, because I think our heat distribution is different. So I have a friend who's in medical school, and I asked her about it. I was like, why did this not work for me? And she said when women get cold, like if you're in a pool, all the heat rushes to your midsection, because that's where all the important parts are. Mm. But I think it's different for men, where like you don't, your body's not thinking, protect, the
light. It wasn't different for me.
What's that?
I said it wasn't different for me.
Your important parts are in the middle, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It must be.
It was protecting mine, because they were hiding.
Different responses.
You got to try that sensory deprivation tank the next time.
The floating one.
Have you done that yet?
I haven't, but I've seen it.
It's awesome. A lot of people can't do it because you get claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. Are you claustrophobic?
I think I could handle it if I was in the right mindset.
So it's such, the place that I go to right down the street here is so soothing, but you're in a pod and it's filled with water and salt. So you float to the top of the water and it's pitch dark in there, and you just close your eyes and you're in there for like half an hour, and your mind goes in a million different, like really sort of almost, for me, it was almost like what's the word I'm looking for?
Psychoanalysis?
No, it was like a trip. Yeah, psychedelic trip almost, but a controlled one. Like the deepest meditation I've ever had in my life.
So like drugs, but they're healthy for you.
Yes.
I did that, the floating thing, and I hated it because the silence is so, I was going to say loud and deafening, but it's so present that after a while I could hear my heartbeat, but I could hear my eyes move in my head. I could hear my blinking. Like, these are sounds that your body drowns out. And to hear your, every time your eyes move, it sounds like sandpaper in your head. It was awful. I had to get out of there.
Did you fart in there? I farted. It was awesome.
Okay.
Why would you do that?
Because like what you're saying, you can hear all of your body parts. So I'm like, oh, I wonder what a fart sounds like in here.
I definitely don't want to get it.
You really got to try it. It's awesome. Outside the fart thing is really pretty awesome.
That'll be my next adventure.
Okay. All right. So the good news is, yeah, I sent that flirty message out, and I'm not really sure it was very well received because they sent it to the wrong person, the boss.
So a good friend of mine is out here single and doing his thing, trying to find a lady. And being his quote unquote wingman, it's like walking around with a personal sitcom every week. This is literally what it feels like, because he always finds a way to mess something up. And in his latest episode, we went out and he met these two girls at the bar, and he sits next to one of them and they start talking, and they seem to be hitting it off pretty well. So by the end of the night, he gets her phone number. She texts him, this is my number, and they end up leaving. So the next day, I end up asking, and I'm like, whatever happened with the girl whose number you got? Did you text her? You said you was going to text her the next day. So he's like, you know what? I did. I text her good morning, but I never got a reply, which was weird because they really seem to have a great chemistry. Like, they really seem to be hitting it off. So it seemed weird to me that she would have been that nice and that approachable and then just ghosted him like that. But whatever. So the next day, I asked him one more time, which was Sunday, obviously the day before most people go to work, which will be relevant later. And so he says, nah, I still got nothing from her. So I said, that's odd, especially being that she texted you and gave you her number and said it was nice to meet you. So then something clicks in his mind at that point of, oh, yeah, she did send me that. So I'm like, what do you mean? You forgot? So he's like, bro, I completely forgot about that. Whoever I text, I sent it to somebody who didn't have a correspondence in the thread before. So it clearly can't be the same woman. So now we got to figure out who you sent this text to if it wasn't her. So she actually didn't ghost you. So now you need to find her number because you messed that up by telling her you was going to text her and you didn't text her. And what did you text to this random person? So he says, I text good morning, beautiful, with the sun emoji. Mm-hmm. So I said, to who, though? So he starts going through his phone. He's like, I don't know. I gotta figure this out. So he starts looking through his phone, and somehow he ends up finding that the phone was connected to an email. The email made him realize that it was his boss. The problem is,
oh, no.
He has, because he saved her name as the same exact first name as her boss, as his boss.
No.
And he has three numbers from his boss. He has like her work number, her personal number, and I guess a different number. Mm. So he doesn't know which one of the phones he sent it to. If it was like her landline number, she would have never got the text. But if it's one of her cell numbers, then obviously she would get it. And it says, good morning, beautiful. So now he's like, what do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. Has she responded? She's like, no, she didn't respond. So I'm like, maybe she didn't get it, but maybe she did, and she's just not responding, because mm-hmm. what did she say to that? So he's like, do you think I should send a follow-up text?
Yes, you immediately send and be like, I just realized I sent this to you and not the girl I'm talking to. I am so sorry.
So, well, I gave him different advice and said, don't cross that bridge until you have to. But he did send it. He sent it anyway and said, you know, I'm sorry I sent this to the wrong number. But he still never got a response.
Huh.
And then, so today is Tuesday now, and he went to work yesterday, and uh-huh. I asked him, how was your day at work with your boss?
Uh-huh.
And he says she hasn't spoken to me the entire day.
That's calculated.
It is. All right, so he sent it at what time?
He sent the text at Saturday morning.
Okay, and then how long before he realized he sent it to the wrong person?
Sunday evening.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no.
And so by that time, he sends that follow-up text, hey, send it to the wrong person. Now it just looks like he's embarrassed because she didn't respond and he got rejected. So that was his way of covering up.
I didn't think about that.
That's how I would look at it. Like, oh, he's trying to play like he sent it to the wrong person because I didn't respond.
Oh, and so, right.
I think she thinks he really did hit on her, and then he tried to backtrack on it, and now it's just hella awkward.
She's probably right, man.
I don't know what he should do then.
Quit. He's just got to quit.
Let's get a new job.
Just quit.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
She hired her ex to be her assistant without telling her husband. Did she come clean? Did he find out on his own? This is one of those storylines that you guys have hit us up about that you need closure on. We call it Follow-Up Thursday. And if you have any storyline you've heard on The Burt Show that you're like, hey, whatever happened to blank? Just hit us up. Go to theburtshow.com, shoot us an email, and we will try to figure out what happened for you. But Abby, give us a little bit more detail of this original story.
So this happened in April of 2022, and her job was in desperate need of an assistant. So there was one person she knew that would be a great fit, but it was her ex. So they were still friends, even though their relationship didn't work out. So she reached out to him, suggesting that he apply for the job, and he ended up getting it. So then our listener didn't want to tell her husband because she knew that he wouldn't approve of the situation. And obviously this is really frustrating to her because her ex has now had recently come out as gay, which is something that her husband was aware of. So then she reached out to us for advice, and then we unanimously advised her to tell her husband ASAP. So did she take our advice or not?
Dear Burt Show, I'm happy to give you an update, but I won't lie. Going back in time to remember everything that happened still makes me so embarrassed. I did tell my husband that we had decided to hire my ex to work as an assistant. He reacted the way I assumed he would. He was upset and told me he didn't think it was very considerate of his feelings to go behind his back and hire someone I had a history with. He asked me how I would feel if he had done the same thing. I told him if he had to work with an old girlfriend who later in life turned out to be a lesbian, I would have no problem with it. He asked me to show him proof that my ex was gay.
How you do that?
I don't know. I guess being married to a man for 7 whole years wasn't enough evidence.
Oh, there's evidence.
He wanted me to show him my ex's Facebook so he could somehow gauge how gay he is now. It's shameful to think about now, but I did show him my ex's profile. And unfortunately, he was not, quote unquote, obviously gay in my husband's eye. Still not sure what that meant. My ex's profile was the same as any heterosexual person's profile. The only difference being his husband is posing next to him in his profile picture versus a wife. My husband claimed that I had no idea if he was actually bisexual, which, fair. I never asked my ex to define his orientation. I asked my husband why he thought my ex would go as far as to cheat on what seems like a very loving husband. And more importantly, why he was so convinced I would cross a line when I'm happily married. He told me that he trusted me, but didn't know my ex enough to feel comfortable. So I made my second mistake and offered to have a sit down with the ex and my husband.
Whoa, no.
I asked my ex to meet up for lunch, and he was thrilled. He brought his husband, and it turned into a double date. It would have been an amazing time catching up and meeting a new friend, except my husband decided to skip all the pleasantries and start asking very invasive questions about my ex's past relationships and his current sex life.
Oh my God.
He asked his husband if he felt uncomfortable with the fact that my ex had dated women in the past. He asked my ex about when he decided to be gay. And then finally asked them both, I don't even want to say this out loud. Who's the man and who's the woman in the relationship?
No. Yo. Are you kidding?
I was absolutely mortified. I could tell my ex was equally horrified by the questions. His lovely husband really seemed to take it in stride.
I'm surprised they didn't leave.
I remember he said, well, we're both the men in the relationship. That's kind of the point. Before my husband could ask any more crude questions, I snapped at him and told him to stop embarrassing me. I apologized as much as I could, paid the tab, and dragged my husband out of the restaurant. That was probably the most difficult moment we have ever experienced in our relationship. I told, at home, I told my husband that I had no idea he was so small-minded, that he had embarrassed me so much that I was actually rethinking our relationship. That gave him a big shock. He asked me what he could do to make things right, and I told him he needed to apologize to my ex and his husband. He slept on the couch for about a week before agreeing to do it. He reached out himself to meet up. He apologized profusely and told them that he had been ignorant, that he was jealous of our shared history and was sorry about his behavior. My ex and his husband graciously accepted the apology. It's been more than 2 years now, and I'm thrilled to let you know that my husband and my ex are actually pretty good friends. My husband realized how much he had upset me and really put in the work to make amends. He hung out with my ex and his husband solo, was able to communicate with me in more productive ways, and even learned a ton of gay stuff.
What is gay stuff?
He even knows what an otter is now.
An otter.
I'm very proud that he's turned into such a fabulous ally. My ex quit being an assistant some time ago for a different opportunity, but we remain good friends. Thanks for reaching out. Well, that took some twisted turns.
A lot of them.
Mm-hmm. But I think, why the journey may have been tough, the outcome was pleasant. So yeah. We will take it.
Yeah.
A win is a win.
The Bird Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.